market makers will pull out their liquidity because they don't want to get wrecked on like permanent loss and things like that. And which is why you get these big violent movements.
Can settle already in the mempool. We don't need to go to the AMM to execute this trade.
You can even settle all of the different tokens between each other to find a mean price for everything.
And it is something you can only do on Polkadot.
Participating in governance provides some sort of multiplier.
You guys are giving away way too much alpha.
Where's the HydraDX stablecoin? Space Monkeys blasting off with the guys from HydraDX. We have Valerie back from the original animated Space Monkeys. We have Jakub Panik, the CTO, and Lulmik Shiz, head of ecosystem growth and development. Welcome.
Thank you very
everybody
much
to the show. HydraDX has been a great story. I love the product myself. A short while ago, HydraDX was $22 million and a dream. And now we have this amazing product. What can we say about the current state of HDX?
So right now we've got the OmniPool, which is the big liquidity pool in the center of HydraDX, which is sort of like the major building block for the protocol, which we're now starting to add additional features to make that more efficient and more usable. So DCA, which as you said, you've just been using yourself, which allows users on chain to spread out larger orders over time, which in this space, I think tends to be quite a common sort of trading pattern. It's just sort of like, oh, I want to buy every X amount of time. We like to automate things as humans, so why not put it on chain?
How did you guys automate? Because isn't there a whole parachain dedicated to automation?
Yes, there is. I think with DCA, when we originally decided to do it, it was decided that it was a super easy piece of automation that we could do. And I think it was one of the famous sort of like 3 weeks sort of expectations that it would take to do. Ended up taking significantly longer than that in the end. But given that it's such a critical part of the model moving forward to make it more efficient for users, it had to be something that was sort of deployed on chain and could control fully that way, I think.
And at the same time, we wanted to implement time-weighted AMM, like the split swaps. That would be too high with slippage to a bunch of smaller ones.
Yeah.
And it's actually the same feature as DCA, but it's like in a very short period. So like we got two in one by doing that.
Yeah, it's important to mention here that actually the requirement of DCA, from a technical perspective, really required us also to build this natively on our chain, because with our DCA, you can basically place a trade as frequent as every block. Using third-party parachains for automation could be a good idea for more like one-off things that need to trigger at a given point. But for this very high-frequency trading, we felt it is better to overcome the challenge and, well, basically have on-chain DCA using our own scheduling system.
It's also easier for other parachain treasuries to automate their buys of other tokens if they need. So for example, DOT, if they need DOT for parachain slot, they can place it trustlessly on chain through XCM, and that would be probably much harder with third party.
So cool. So how's the OmniPool been performing, expectations versus reality?
Performing, I think it looks good right now.
Yeah.
According to the technical specifications, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think Kubo often coins that it's what we launched so far is like the training wheels V1 version of OmniPool. So, I mean, when you launch something so novel, like when you initially launch it, you just hope that it doesn't break, right? That it doesn't all go horribly wrong and you've just worked, like your idea was dumb. So like that was like the proof of concept, which is why we also steadily increase the TVL. You know, we didn't just yeet in 20 odd million DAIs worth of liquidity at the start.
Yeah, I mean, not only proof of concept, it is actually the foundation upon which we are building everything else, right? Like, I would actually like to refer to what Rob said in here at Space Monkeys at, what, 100th episode. We were discussing several projects and we were talking about HydraDX, and I remember Rob saying, like, we are now becoming a product team, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we started from, like, building the foundation for everything, which is the OmniPool, right? And now we can increasingly focus on the user needs and ship features which will dramatically improve the user experience when trading in the OmniPool, right? So like you have not too much liquidity in the ecosystem or in any ecosystem, okay, then we can have DCA, right? You can split your orders in smaller chunks because, like, let's say you're an average user that wants to, like, expose themselves to a certain parachain asset in the ecosystem. You're not interested in buying, let's say, 10,000 worth of this asset right now. You want to buy it today. So, for example, with split your trade, spread your trade, it is possible to say, like, please let me accumulate 10,000 worth of that asset over today. And by doing so, you basically, you split your trades in very small chunks, which execute much more efficiently, right, with less slippage.
Yeah.
And then with after every trade, you let the arbitragers do their job and restore the price balance. So in the end, like a trade which would cause a very big trade impact with low liquidity, you can still execute it in a matter of, within a day, right? Just by spreading it, splitting it in chunks.
So
not only end users, but also other parachain teams. So for example, we want to be a provider of price feeds. Other parachains can use this to pay fees, transaction fees in any currency.
Right.
And then we can provide also the swap back to their native token if they wish so. So you would get the price from Hydra. We have internal oracles that we like. We have exponentially moving average prices on chain. So that means like we store last block price and then we store price that is average over 10 blocks. And then you can use this on your other chain to actually compare this price to your token and then pay transaction fees in other currencies. And then if you accumulate enough of these tokens, you can sell it off through XCM. So like providing these services to other parachains is also important. So we are building a backbone of liquidity for Polkadot.
Absolutely. Now, you guys did have something happen where you had to shut down the Omni pool for a second, didn't you? Can you talk a little bit about what happened there and how you guys responded and recovered?
Security of the platform of the Omni pool and of the funds there, which are user funds and also protocol owned liquidity, is our top priority,
yeah,
right? So we have been working with the assumption that, yeah, we have to be as well prepared as possible in any event, right? So we sometimes take extra precautionary measures. So for example, when we post adding liquidity, it was this kind of extra precautionary measure. We have like a multi-layered security strategy, right? So like we have very thorough reviews, research, right? And also economic audits. Then we have also a rigorous review process during the development of the features. We have also audits of the functionality itself, so the Omni pool has been audited. And then as a latest layer of security, we have a generous bug bounty program, right? So we want to make sure that if there is anything that slips through this process, right? And this can happen because humans can happen mistakes at different levels, right? So even if you set up many layers, something can go to the end. And this is why you have exploits in many protocols, right? What basically happened was that there was a vulnerability reported through our bug bounty program. It was by one of the top 10 white hat hackers in Immunify. So this is like a very reputable bug bounty program. So yeah, the report, once we got it in, it was still quite vague, right? So it needed some time to see what potentially could be done. But yeah, like in a nutshell, if you would operate with very, very big amounts of liquidity, right? Like assuming that this liquidity could enter the chain and like nobody would notice it and pause certain functions before that, you could basically place huge, huge trades with providing liquidity. There was like a certain sequence which could lead to draining some value of the Omni pool. And this was already enough to trigger our emergency response mechanism. So we immediately closed the hole, which was basically we stopped other users from adding liquidity because part of the exploit was adding very, very, very big amounts of liquidity.
Right, right.
So by sealing this gap, we knew that nobody could exploit it right now with existing funds in the Omni pool. Until we researched and developed a fix which makes this kind of exploits not economically feasible.
Yeah. Right?
So we have implemented fees on several layers, which also notice any big price manipulation attacks. We tested it, we saw that it worked, and only after we deployed it, we enabled adding liquidity again.
Brilliant.
Basically, most of the time that we had the fix in probably 2 days, but it took maybe 3 weeks or something like that to restore a liquidity function, or maybe a month. But everything was like, we were just rechecking, and our research team was doing math to confirm that this is no longer possible. And
trading just never stopped, right?
No. Yeah. That was fine, because,
and also removing liquidity.
Removing liquidity was not stopped.
Existing LPs could still withdraw the liquidity if they felt the need to. We didn't see any big exodus or anything happening, right?
No.
I think the community saw that we are handling it properly.
Yeah, for sure. That was well done. Well, okay, great. So, Lol, yesterday in your presentation, you described a few features on the horizon.
So we've got dynamic fees that essentially reviews volatility of an asset and or volume of an asset, and will adjust the trade fee level based on what the Oracle provides it, which essentially can make LPing more profitable during times when you'd perhaps normally get wrecked from a permanent loss. So
okay, so more volatility, more fees.
Because ordinarily, during volatile markets, market makers will pull out their liquidity because they don't want to get wrecked on like permanent loss and things like that. And that's why you get these big, violent movements.
That's so interesting.
LPs know that that's when they get wrecked on impermanent loss. So if you incentivize them to stick around with dynamic fees, then you don't get the volatility and the fluctuations. And we're in the process of developing HDX native staking as well, non-inflationary. So that is currently in the implementation phase.
Where does the reward come from if it's non-inflationary?
From volume and trade fees in the Omnipool. So initially it's from HDX liquidity in the Omnipool, and any trade fees paid go into a separate pot, which is then paid to stakers. So it is potentially, initially, those rewards could be low if the volume is low, but you'd expect those to then scale as the volume increases. So it sort of aligns the rewards with the actual use of the platform.
I think it's important to say that the staking is created to incentivize governance actions. So like the more you do, more you vote in governance, the more bonus points you will accrue, and that will unlock faster staking rewards for you.
Okay, so this participating in governance provides some sort of multiplier on your rewards?
Yes.
You guys are giving away way too much alpha.
Really?
No, I mean,
it was supposed to be a bit of a secret still.
So that's what's just coming up. What are some of the features that are up in the air for what's to come?
Order batching and back running auctions.
So the idea of order batching is that you would, right, when you have like an AMM, you have a bunch of intentions from users coming in, right? So somebody wants to buy something, somebody wants to sell something and trade, right, certain asset. So basically, what you can do is, before those intentions hit the actual AMM and get executed, you could kind of execute them against each other. So like, if I want to buy 10 dot and you are selling 10 dot, then we can settle already in the mempool. We don't need to necessarily go to the AMM to execute this trade. Uh-huh. And this could be super interesting with larger trades, right? So like, you would have execution
without...
Do you
do like a portion of the trade too? Like,
you could do a portion of a trade, right?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't have to be exactly matching, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can even settle all of the different tokens between each other to like find a like mean price for everything. So it can be very interesting. And then if you add a spot for backrunning to the collator that is building the block, he can get the price difference from that, like he would arbit back to the like market prices, which he thinks is correct.
Backrunning is like positive way of NEV, right? So like you have front running, which is a bad way of NEV, a bad type of NEV, and you have backrunning, which basically allows somebody to, once you have all the trades, right, that are about to basically be executed, you have somebody who can look at them and basically execute some trades which will maybe improve, so add their trade to it. So like if you see that somebody wants to buy a huge amount of dots and then this dot will cause like a lot of slippage, you could also like basically arbit and basically provide the dot that you're willing to buy with the order batching. This gets executed against each other and you can provide more efficient trading for the users.
So, next feature?
So, other features we've got on the roadmap, which we want to sort of decide what's the next priorities. We've got the bonds. So, you may have heard about bonds through the likes of Ohm, when we had Ohm season. Essentially, people always joked that OHM would have worked a lot better had it had an AMM at the center of it to trade the liquidity rather than providing it externally. But essentially, what it allows us to do, rather than using HDX for liquidity mining incentives endlessly, which as we know is just, you know, a down only for the asset in question, Bonds essentially allows you to sell a batch of HDX at a predetermined discount for an asset. So for example, IBTC, which would then just be added straight into the OmniPool as protocol and liquidity. And there's all sorts of cool things you can do with maturities and investing schedules on those. So, and then secondary markets for those as well. So there's a lot of cool opportunities for bonds as well. Money market is another one that we've got on the feature. So a lot of DeFi is now heading towards vertical integration of all sort of aspects of DeFi, and one thing we're really missing is a nice lending and borrowing facility. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, Interlayer now working on something similar for their Bitcoin DeFi. Allowing people to, for example, provide liquidity to the OmniPool and then borrow against that as a collateral, because obviously we can, with our own internal oracles, can like liquidate those. Being the block producer, you can determine which transaction types are where in the block, so to speak. Which is what we do with the DCA, for example. They go at the start of the block, so that, you know, leads to more orderly liquidations and things. So typically these money markets have like liquidation fees, there's obviously borrowing fees and lending fees as well. So, you know, if you've got a big pot of assets in the center, then why not make that work, right? So it's a way of again adding another revenue stream to the OmniPool being able to self-sustain itself.
Guys, where's the HydraDX stablecoin?
who told you about the HydraDX? there is no such thing.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Yeah, exactly. Where is it? Seems like a piece of the whole DeFi ecosystem.
So we joke at the moment that Lerner has become somewhat of a stablecoin.
But it's a joke.
It's just a joke.
Like, I mean, Lerner has been having quite a stable value, but once it becomes tradable, it will be more difficult to keep its value stable.
Yeah.
Presumably, it does have some value stabilization mechanisms, but still, whether those will be enough to make it actually stable, it's about to be seen, but it's not one of our primary goals for the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, things change quickly, so you never know.
Of course. Okay, so interesting product map. What's the first feature we each want to see? Is it the same? What do you want to see, Lil?
I like the idea of all of the block reordering, ordering, order batching things, just because it can make the trade super efficient. Although whilst volumes are low, it doesn't have an initial immediate impact, but it is really exciting, and it is something you can only do on Polkadot, like the way that the chain is set up. So I think that's really exciting for me. But at the same time, something like bonds allows us to get more protocol and liquidity. It's hard to say. I want it all now, and Jakob always tells me no.
Yeah, I mean, for me, engineering-wise, the order batching is definitely very interesting, but it's a big feature, and currently, with the volumes, it's like a cat and a mouse, like a chicken and egg. Do we get a bigger volume because we have more efficient trading, or do we first get the bigger volume and then plug in the feature that will make it increase its efficiency?
Right.
It's like, yeah, we need to decide, shuffle it around. But yeah, there will be some security features first, probably. We want to have a system where if large XEM transactions are coming into the chain, we can defer them, make them wait for a period of time, so that if somebody sees, okay, this transaction is probably from some hack, we can pause it.
So people don't use you to like get out of a hack or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if somebody wants to exit through Hydra, we would be able to react.
Interesting.
So, like, I don't know, there is $20 million in Hydra, and then $10 million transaction is incoming, something is fishy, so... And there will be a governance track for that, probably, and, yeah.
OpenGov is coming.
OpenGov, I know, so interesting. Your governance community is probably one of the most active in the ecosystem, besides the Relay Chain governance. Your governance also happens, like, quite quickly. Like, it seems like something goes up and then it's implemented pretty quick.
Yeah, so we've got, I mean, the defaults are, it's 3 days of voting.
Yeah.
There's a launch period every 3 days, which is obviously a lot faster than Polkadot, obviously faster than Kusama. Sometimes things happen even faster than that. These are generally pre-agreed. So quite often we'll do a referenda which places an on-chain remark with some specific understanding that the community agrees on. So things like listing a new asset in the Omnipool, due to obviously how volatile crypto markets are, you don't want to be launching with a like 3-day-old price for an asset, because arbors are going to come in and just make honey straight away. So those need to be done fast. So we'll place an on-chain remark like list, add CFG to the Omnipool, fast track referendum. So we'll get pre-approval from the community for the technical committee to like fast track it to 3 hours, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the DCA orders from the Treasury at the moment. We're fast tracking those for 3 hours because we've already agreed the total budget, how we're going to do it, what schedule we're going to do it on.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't need 3 days of voting because we already know it's been approved.
Right.
But that's all manual fast tracking and things at the moment, which is where OpenGov can come in and sort of like alleviate some of that.
How much of that original DAI has been deployed?
We had 22 million initially.
Yeah.
In the Omnipool at the moment, I think there's about 8 million. I think it's about 8 or 9 million. We've got 4.8 million at the moment, which is DCAing into HDX, IBTC, and DOT.
So cool.
The DOT is for, you know, part of it will be for next parachain lease. Part of it will be just to add to the Omnipool, and part of it will be for like getting liquid staking versions like VDOT in the Omnipool, for example.
You're going to use protocol own liquidity for the lease?
Yes. Yeah. So the protocol will fund itself.
Yeah.
For future leases, as long as they remain in place.
And we also encourage other parachains to do that, right? Especially if they're listed in the Omnipool.
Sure.
It's actually one of like our major value propositions for other parachains B2B, that actually you can like basically XCM funds over from your treasury, right? Undergoing a governance vote, so you don't even have to use like multisigs or, you know, any trusted things. Just start a governance to transfer some funds to your sovereign account on HydroDX, and then you can DCA, for example, Aster. We have now Aster in the Omnipool, so they could send over some Aster, and they could DCA it into DOT. So they could slowly, very slowly accumulate DOT, right? And then they can use this to transfer it back to their chain, and they could even place a bid, right, with their governance. So
yeah,
we're really reaching the time and place where all these things can be done permissionlessly, right? This is super sweet.
So Val, what changes with OpenGov?
Well, with OpenGov, we're going to have more decentralization, right? We're not going to have console anymore. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Limo. We're not doing it for the meme, right? Or just for the brand. We really believe in decentralization and really want also the protocol to be independent and to be able to take decisions completely independently and to not have any entity of control. And also, the reason why we are so bullish on governance is because, you know, if you think about it, governance and XCM are the two really, really special features of Polkadot that not many other ecosystems have, right? And then the combination between the both, right, that you can do certain actions with your liquidity, and that really comes from the community. So it's a completely decentralized decision, and, you know, you can manage liquidity in a multi-chain way, trustlessly, right, and without any, you know, like trusted third parties. It's super powerful. I think we'll have a lot of challenges to find the right parameters of the tracks, right, given the, you know, the turnouts that we have and the decisions that need to be made.
Sure.
So this will be like an interesting journey. Probably going to do it first on Basilisk and after that on Hydra. But yeah, it is a very important step for us.
Beautiful. So you mentioned Basilisk. What's going on with the snack? We don't hear about it too much anymore. What's the story?
We're stuck out for several months now. It's pretty much been a case of when is the Kusama Polkadot bridge going live, right? So the original vision for Basilisk and Hydra was that Hydra has this amazing Omnipool, but you don't want price discovery to happen there, and you don't want super immature tokens in there. So you need something which is more reckless and crazy, where people can launch the shitcoins and just, make hay while the sun shines, sort of thing. So Basilisk is supposed to serve that for Hydra, but at the moment they've obviously got that, they're severed in connection. I'm hearing Q3 or maybe Q4. I think
Joe said 3 months. You said for real this time.
For real. For real, 3 months. Okay. Maybe 3 months is the new 3 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's running on the test nets, so hopefully once the audits are finished, we can start bridging Kusama to Polkadot. And having price discovery, I would hope to see more LBPs on Snake.
Yeah.
That was actually like really cool from Tinker.
Yeah. LBP is an important one. But we need price discovery on Polkadot, and it's a pain point when I speak with teams and they want to get their, they hear about the Omnipool and they want to get their token in there. But due to, we need to have a certain amount of the asset distributed and we need to have the price discovered before that can happen. But we can't provide the other part of the solution. So at the moment, it feels very much like, nah, sorry, touch it and that's it. So we desperately need that on Polkadot in order to sort of like evolve as a DeFi ecosystem for sure.
Because you guys are you guys taking external price feeds or no?
No, we are our own. Our Omnipool is our price feed.
Is there a big spread between the Omnipool and like Sexus?
Not for long.
No, not
so. AMMs always rely on arbitrages to make. We've got several active arbitrages. So there's a few bots you can see now. Yeah. If we've got in our Discord an OmniWatch channel, and like each of the addresses have like a little emoji and things like that. So there's this flower that always arbs ETH. There's a lion that always arbs DOT, and you can just see it just constantly throughout the day, just like bang, bang, bang. That's how I know the prices are moving in the markets, because I'm just like, oh, that account's bidding ETH. That means the market's moved up. So, but there's also a few manual arbitrages as well, like community members who've been doing it manually since we launched the Omnipool, which typically you don't get very far with manual arbitrage because bots are doing it super fast, right? But given how early we are in the development, we still got a few manual arbitrages as well. So they close that gap. With a small delay, but it's not a very big delay anymore. They're getting faster.
Amazing. Very excited about this protocol. Well, what are you guys thinking about the external DeFi space and how HydraDX fits into that? Do you think about that at all? Or
we say there's sort of like two main arms to the overall success of Hydra. There's winning within Polkadot and there's Polkadot winning.
Yeah.
So we're sort of tackling things on both fronts to try and make that happen. We need a bustling DeFi ecosystem on Polkadot. Clearly we're geared up for enterprise adoption and such like, as you can see from some of the talks and stuff. But we need a thriving DeFi community. There are some great projects like Interlay and Bifrost that are doing some great things, and we're really excited to keep working with them on some DeFi initiatives to just try and bring some attention and excitement to the ecosystem that, Polkadot isn't dead. Like, you see the jokes all over crypto Twitter and stuff. So, that's a predominant focus for us at the minute.
I'm looking forward where we see more, like right now, a lot of parachains are finishing their core products and like polishing them and making them work. And now it's the time for interoperability of the parachains to shine. We have the XCM, which is basically a programming language that you can use to interact with all of these chains, and using one chain to have identity, second chain to have like a multi-sig account structure, and using Hydra to actually pay for everything in the ecosystem. It will be like that. That's for me really exciting. So.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah, we're stronger together. So let's fucking go, Polkadot.
I love these alliances, guys. Thanks so much for your work and making DeFi easy and pleasurable on Polkadot. It's been really, really nice.
Yeah, thanks.
So looking forward to seeing what's happening. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, buddy.